You're listening to a podcast hosted on the Podcast Matrix. What is the podcastmatrix.com?
Being green is about more than saving on your electric bill or doing your part to protect natural resources. It is about getting a safe and healthier life for you and your family without sacrificing style, quality, or budget. This is a movement to provide all of us with clean air to breathe and water to drink, safe, healthy food to eat and places to live, and energy to run the places where we live, learn, play, and work. Your go-to information source for a healthier home and world, hosted by Marla Esser-Close, your green home coach. This is the Green Gab Podcast.
Hey, it's Marla Esser-Close, the green home coach, and you are listening to the Green Gab Podcast here from our new studio in Edmond, Oklahoma, outside of Oklahoma City, and I love this place. And I have a super, super fun guest today, and we've like been reveling in the podcast studio here. This is Leah Gallagher with Untangle Organizing here in Oklahoma City. How are you today?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm awesome.
Yeah, this is a really sweet space. I like the setup.
I know. So I want to give a big shout out. We're actually using the podcast studio in Vault 405, co-working space in downtown Edmond, Oklahoma. And if y'all are in Oklahoma City, see, I still got my y'all going with Oklahoma. I know.
It's hard to avoid. I like y'all.
Thanks. I appreciate that. But this place just opened up in March of 2018 and has just been such a great little jewel. I know just walking you around, you're like jaw open going, wow, this is cool. But that's exactly how I felt when I first came here. And then having the podcast space as well was just that clinched the deal.
I kind of geeked out over how all of the tables and chairs have wheels and you can just rearrange it super easy and not have to break your back.
Exactly. I know. And everything here rearranges so easy. So it's really set up to be very flexible and to accommodate freelancers or work from homers that just want a place to get out or small companies that need a place. Matter of fact, there's several small companies that are headquartered here. So it's pretty cool.
Awesome.
You have to come back sometime and have lunch. Urban Agrarian is mainly local and regional foods and a lot of sustainable foods, and they're on the corner of the space. So shout out to the folks here doing some cool stuff. I'm excited to be a part of it.
Yay. That sounds really good.
So you are a professional organizer.
Yes.
So what does that mean?
I get asked that a lot. No, I do not do community organizing, but I essentially declutter and help people create systems in their homes and home offices that make sense to them so that they can find what they need when they need it and everything's accessible and they don't have to, you know, waste time searching for things or waste money buying duplicates of stuff that they already have.
Oh, that never happens.
Somewhere. Yeah. And I teach them the skills to maintain it on their own. So weirdly enough, I work myself out of a job.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, like a good engineer.
Right. No, that's a good thing. I like that idea. I am by nature a fairly organized person, but I find, and I imagine a lot of your clients find this, as things get really busy, they get out of control, and then it's not a priority until it is.
Things are important, but then get pushed back until they're urgent or past due, and then that just amplifies the stress level, and it doesn't need to be that way. And I like to help people kind of minimize that and just cut that whole stressor out because they don't have to have it.
I've gotten to know you through REI Women Business.
Yes.
Center. I'm trying to remember what the rest of that was.
Yeah, I think it's Center.
I think you're right. And that's been, I've met so many wonderful people around here, particularly women, professional women, women that own their own businesses, et cetera. And that's been a fabulous resource. If you are in the Oklahoma area, this is a service available Oklahoma-wide. But I've met so many really just fun women like you and women that are really doing some really cool stuff. And I'm so grateful for that. But I know the first few times we talked, you really had a chance to share your story and how you got started with organizing.
Oh,
I'd
gosh,
love for you to
yeah.
share that story for our listeners because it's such a great story.
Sure. I was not always organized. I have been organized for most of my life because I've had to be. I grew up with split custody, so I switched houses between my mom's house and my dad's house, and for some bizarre reason, who even knows how the custody gets split.
I had like a split week, so like every other Wednesday I had to switch houses, and I don't know how I kept up with that. Probably not well, because my stepdad had to sit me down, give me a talk, like, you know, your teachers have talked to us, and you can't just shove your papers in your backpack and hope that it'll come out okay. You need to use folders and, you know, talk to your mom. She'll teach you how to do this stuff. And my mom is super organized. She's got binders and Excel spreadsheets and a file that's marked in case of death, check here first. And that's all of her estate stuff.
But that's smart.
It's great. Oh, it's honestly a relief. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's still kicking, knock on wood. We're good so far.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, thanks, Mom. You know, eventually we'll have stuff
You'll
in order.
Need that.
Yeah, we will. And so that's a good present to give your family is that peace of mind. But that's kind of sidetrack. I go on tangents. But yeah, so I learned how to be organized from my mom, and because I needed to be. It's just through necessity. And I loved it. I felt so much better. Just when things were chaotic and stressful growing up, I could organize my room. And this is my one space that's totally calm. And I get to put things away in their homes, and it looks so good. It was my sanctuary. And yeah, I want to share that peace and that warm feeling with all of my clients, with really the world.
You Gosh. Organized a lot of your family members when you were younger, didn't
Gosh,
you?
Gosh, yes. Yes. I organized my sister's Pokemon collection. And then she would intentionally mess it all up. So I'd have to do it again.
I love it.
I mean, you know, sisters, that's fine. Gosh, everywhere that I've worked before going into business for myself, I got excited about organizing the space and making it so that it was easier for people who worked with me to find what they need and to put stuff back, so that it wasn't a pet peeve for me to put things back for them. They could just do it. I don't know. I didn't realize that it was even a thing that I could do as a career, as a profession, until I want to say like late 2013, when I found the website for NAPO, the mm-hmm. National Association of Professional Organizers. And it blew my mind. I was like, wait, this is a thing? I can do this? That's awesome.
And there's organizers that do digital organizing for mm-hmm. your computers and organizing for your house or your office. And a lot of us do need help. And,
yeah.
And right. exactly why we wanted you here to talk.
Aww.
Specifically because we are in the holiday season.
Yes, which is rife with chaos and lots of busy things and deadlines and wrapping paper everywhere.
Yeah, mine's got to come out of the closet tomorrow. This is just a perfect time of year to think, okay, as I'm putting my stuff away, how do I organize it so I find it better next year?
I think the best time to evaluate your holiday decor and wrapping stuff, just the whole shebang, is right after the holiday is ended. So as you're putting it away, think first about the stuff that you didn't use. Are you going to use it next year? Unlikely, but you know, sometimes there's exceptions.
So kind of like your clothes when you're going through your clothes.
Pretty much. It's the same decision-making process. So ask yourself three basic questions. Do you need it? Do you use it? And do you love it? And if you answer yes to two out of those three, at least, then awesome, keep it. And if not, then it can find a new home elsewhere.
I should have known you were a two out of three-er. No wonder we get along.
Yay!
Well, I know we've got lots and lots of tips and ways for people to get organized. So I definitely want to leap into that. But before we go down that, because I know you've got a lot of great ideas. Why should people get organized? What's the benefit?
Less stress. You don't have to keep stuff like active in your mind all the time, because you know that there's a system that you can trust. And it's like your past self is taking care of your future self by putting things away in their homes.
That's beautiful. Your past self is taking care of your future self. I like that. Because, you know, there is no present.
Right. Yeah. No.
Except the gifts that we give ourselves. Right. Yeah. That's, wow. That's a really great way to think of that.
Well, thanks.
I
like
that.
To thank my past self when I've, you know, set up my clothes for the next day and all my stuff is like packed and ready to go in the mornings. It's like, oh, thank you, past Leah, because I am not awake right now. I can't handle these decisions.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, that's so perfect. Okay, so let's take a quick breather.
Okay.
And then when we come back, I want to do two things. Not only do I want to leap into all of the wonderful tips that you've been giving me little highlights of, I also want to talk about how this ties into this whole idea of green and sustainability, because it really does in a way that I think a lot of people don't think about. And so we'll be right back.
It's plain old common sense. You want your home to look great, feel great, and perform great. Is it even possible to do all three without breaking the bank? Yes! In Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices for a Better Home, Marla Esser Close shows you how to make your home green. Whether you live in a small apartment in the big city or a brand new single family home in the suburbs. From integrating smart technology into your home to planting a rain garden, there are all kinds of ways to live greener. Get the book now at livinggreenbook.com. That's livinggreenbook.com.
Thought about a career in voiceover? Need a great, cost-effective on-hold message for your organization or business? Don't know where to start? Check out The Voice Farm, your one-stop shop for voiceover needs. Check it out now by accessing The Voice Farm at voicefarmers.com and see what difference can be made with a company that is truly outside the box. From The Voice Box, voicefarmers.com. That's voicefarmers.com.
Back to the Green Gab, and we are gabbing today with Leah about how to organize all of that holiday stuff after the holidays, or maybe even if you're getting a head start during the holidays.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay to process this stuff as you're decorating.
That's true. Although a lot of people may be done by now.
Which, well,
it's
I'm not.
It's mid-December. Okay, so never mind. I spoke too soon.
I still need to put up some lights and then I'll call it done. Like, that's what good enough will be for me. There's just like 4 strings of lights that I need to put up and then that's it.
Oh, you're not doing bad at all.
Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, it's an incremental process.
That's right. I have ornaments up. I've got the other little, just cute little guys sitting out on end tables.
Nice.
And yeah, that's kind of it. I get pretty minimal for decorations.
I also want to make a point to our listeners that may not celebrate Christmas. This thought process applies to any of your holiday or seasonal decorations or things in your home, really. I mean, and a lot of this, I'm sure, translates really to anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to pick on Christmas because we're
Christmas
celebrating
right
people and it's right around the corner. But do know that this translates over very nicely. And we were talking off mic. And with the tie-in back, you know, well, why does organizing matter to green and sustainability, since that's the topic of Green Gab? And you nailed it.
Oh, reduce, reuse, recycle. It's pretty much the center of being green, and it is a huge part in organizing, because if you reduce the amount of stuff that you have, there's less to maintain, there's less that you feel guilty about throwing away. Reusing what you already have, you save money, you save space. Amazon boxes, like we all have probably too many.
Especially this time of year.
Yeah. And I find it easy to reuse those. I'll go on a tangent for a holiday tip. You can cut off the flaps of the Amazon boxes or even a side of it, depending on the size of your string lights. And you can cut a notch in the top end and the bottom end and just kind of like wrap your holiday lights or string lights, whatever they are, around the cardboard and tuck the edge into the bottom notch. And there you go. You've got flat storage for your lights.
Nice. You know what my mom does? I thought was a great idea that I never thought about. She puts her extension cords inside of toilet paper rolls.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. I love that.
I'm like, I've done it for like to hold my gift wrap.
Yeah.
You know, I'll wrap it around like a cuff. But I'm like, Mom, that's awesome. No idea.
I like your mom.
Hey, what is it? Necessity is the mother of invention, right?
Yeah, man.
A lot of us have stuff that we pull out once a year for the holidays, for that 4-6 weeks, however long we leave it up, depending on what frame of mind we are when we take it all down. Usually depends on how easy it is to put it back up the next year and how easy it is to find stuff. So where do you start?
Well, you can start pretty much anywhere as long as you get started. I think the where is less important than the just doing it. But you could start with, as you're taking the decorations down, take a look at the stuff that did not get put up and evaluate whether or not you're going to use that next year. If you are, then go ahead and keep that with the stuff that you're putting away and make a donate bag for the stuff that you just don't see yourself using next year at all. And maybe that'll be an inspiration to start a new tradition for somebody else. And it's not necessarily that you're throwing it away. You're giving it a new life elsewhere and freeing it from being buried in one of those bins in the closet or basement. There aren't that many basements around here. Attic. There we go. I'm used to the basement section of a holiday decoration and all those like big old Rubbermaid tubs. Yeah.
Me too. Past life.
Exactly.
So many of us inherit family treasures.
Yes.
Or maybe not treasures. Or you have your children's first grade ornaments that they made for you. And if you had, if you were really good at keeping that stuff, you may have a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you may have a lot of things from family that you feel obligated to keep because they were great grandma Gertrudes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go through that stuff? What's that emotional process like? And a lot of that stuff you may, like, I've got stuff I'm keeping for my kids.
You know, that one's really tricky. Depending on the age of the kid, you can ask them if they actually want those things for later or even now.
Right.
Again, if they're adult children, then they'll probably be frank with you like, yeah, I totally want that. Or, no, thanks, Mom, but no. But the sentimental stuff is a lot harder to go through just because it brings up all of those memories and feelings. Again, like those three questions, if do you need it, do you use it, and do you love it, really be honest with yourself. And if it's a happy memory, then I think that it's good to, you know, keep it in the tradition and, you know, hang or display or whatever you can do with this thing in a prominent place where you'll definitely see it and enjoy it. But if it's a sad or painful memory, you might not really want to put that up and
let it go.
You can let it go. Or if there's a story that you really want to remember, but you don't like the object itself, maybe it's not your style and it was grandma's style, but you're just feeling something different. If grandma's still alive, then fantastic. Go ahead and talk with her however way you can, phone, Skype, in person, and record the conversation. You can just hit a voice recorder app on your phone or whatever fun tech stuff you want to do and have that story, and you can compile a collection of family stories. I've started working on that with my family, and that's more valuable than the item itself, is the story that the item holds.
That makes a lot of sense, because so many times when the family's getting together to decorate, oh, remember this.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I remember when we went. I used to collect ornaments from all the places that we went.
Yeah.
So, of course, as we were decorating, we'd have all the conversations about all the places we'd gone and stuff. And
that sounds like a fun tradition.
And I think part of what you're hitting on that I think is important is, you know, prioritize, right?
Mm-hmm.
And decide what's really important and place the emphasis on that and then let go of the things that don't necessarily add in a positive way to that.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And I think with holiday stuff, that the holidays can be really hard for a lot of people. And I think we probably put a lot of stress on ourselves that we probably don't need to.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then you're like, how am I going to get everything decorated? And that's, is decorating a tradition in your home or is it a chore or is it a joy?
Right. Yeah. For me, it feels like a chore, and that's why I am pretty minimal. It's like, here's my, like, five things. We're done. Like, it used to be a fun family tradition as a kid. Like, it was a huge, huge to-do at my mom's house, just putting everything up. And then at my dad's house, we were kind of minimal-ish about it. But it was still a fun family togetherness activity. And then I guess after moving out on my own, it really wasn't the same. So traditions do evolve over time. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to change your practices and your decoration collections as your traditions change.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so back to getting people organized.
Ah, yes.
Besides prioritize. But prioritizing is the first step in organizing,
for real,
isn't it?
Sorting like with like, the easier to see how much of a thing that you have. So if you put all of your ornaments in a section, you see like, oh, maybe I have way more than will ever fit on any tree that I get. So let me just pick my favorite ones and keep those. That it's easier to prioritize that way.
So do you recommend any kind of specific storage items for people that are helpful for their holiday decorations and seasonal stuff?
Sure. There's a couple of fun things. There's that cardboard wrapping thing for the string lights. And for bulb ornaments, you can reuse empty egg cartons or I think apple cartons if they've got like the bigger...
Ooh, apples cartons, like, or apple boxes. I know what you're talking about. That's a great idea.
And then wrapping paper rolls can be stored in a bunch of different ways. You can just use an umbrella stand if you want. Or there's what my mom used to do is this like hanging plastic sheet, a lot of that over the door stuff, and just stick them on down there. And there they are. You can see what you have because it's clear and it's out of the way. It can be behind a door inside a closet if you've got limited space, or just on a hanging rack in a closet somewhere that has more space. Man, closet space is so good. Oh.
Yeah, I don't have enough.
Yeah.
all my wrapping stuff's in a clear plastic box, but it's on the bottom of the closet, so the rest of the year I use gift bags because I can't get to the wrapping paper.
Yeah.
Not all bad. Well, and I actually save and reuse all the ribbons in the gift bags.
Me too.
So.
I have a bag of bags. It's great. I never buy the ribbons or gift bags. It's like, no, I've got enough.
Yeah. I agree. I don't need to do too much of that. So what about when people are taking things down? I love your idea about, you know, going through and seeing what you used and what you didn't use. Mm-hmm. So for things that people don't use but maybe aren't quite ready to let go of, do you recommend putting those in a separate box or container?
Yeah, I do, actually. You can set a date to revisit that box, or not necessarily to you can revisit it. Reassess that box. It can be 6 months. It can be a year. Whatever arbitrary date that you decide feels good. Slap that label on the box of what's in it and the date that you want to revisit it. And if you have not opened that box before that date, it's okay to just let the box go unopened. Take it to Goodwill or wherever you want to gift it to, wherever you want to donate it to. Or if it's like really sentimental stuff and you do want to go through it again before making that decision, yeah, go ahead. But be honest with yourself. If you really want that box or those things to take up the space that it took during that period of time, that 6 months or a year that you set it aside, it's like, oh, I'll decide later. Well, yep, now's the time to decide.
And I think that's probably the hardest part, is the emotional part, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I've gone through some of my like memorabilia box recently. It happens once every like year or two. And I'll pare down some of the pictures. I'll get rid of some things that just don't hold the same strong emotional tie to me anymore. Or I'm just in a different phase of my life and it's not as meaningful anymore. But then there are other things where it's like, nope, that's too painful to revisit. Let me do that next time.
And that's
it sticks around and it's okay. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, let's take a quick breather. And when we come back, now that we've gotten through kind of the hardest part of organizing, we'll come back and share some of your other tips, just some of the physical tips of that sounded wrong.
Woo!
Anywho, how you actually do it, folks. Okay,
hello.
We'll be right back.
Wouldn't it be cool if your advertising could last forever? It can, with Perpetual Advertising. Here's how it works. Magazine, radio, and television ads are efforts that people might see or hear once, and then they're lost forever. Perpetual Advertising provides you with the chance for repeat exposure and replayability weeks, months, even years after it's originally inserted inside a podcast. So even after your advertising is included in a podcast years ago, those efforts are still impactful, providing you with true return on investment. real impact, thanks to Perpetual Advertising. Are you ready to change the way you and your company or organization advertises? Find out more and launch a unique Perpetual Advertising effort right now by visiting twoguystalking.com/sponsors.
Editing podcasts can be, rough. Everyone knows that you'll spend at least double the time you use creating the podcast when editing it. Then there's the control freak factor and the gotta get it right the first time factor. And, well, it's time to shove all that out the door and make your podcast soar with the Editor Corps. The Editor Corps is a talented, experienced team of podcast editors that have edited tens of thousands of hours of podcast content, and they're ready for yours now. Check out EditorCorps.com because it's time to make your podcast soar. EditorCorps.com. That's EditorCorps.com.
Back on the Green Gab, talking organizing, especially holiday organizing with Leah of Untangle Organizing. That is so hard for me to say.
Yeah. I realize that that non-existent D is actually really tricky.
It is, but it makes you very unique.
Aw, thanks.
Right?
I've had people ask if I'm a hairstylist because of the name Untangle, and I realize, like, oh no, I missed my calling. Should have done that. But no, this is actually way better for me.
So when I first saw the name of your company, the most vivid picture that came to mind was untangling necklaces that would get all mushed, you know, enmeshed together in my jewelry box. And I remember as a kid when I could still see without glasses, you know, learning to pick apart the strands.
Yeah.
So that was the vision I had when I first met you.
Well, you know, I have done that.
And that's a kind of fits.
Yeah, it definitely does. And that honestly plays into proper storage. And
well, there you go.
If you've got the right kind of storage for your necklaces or holiday lights or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, then there won't be a tangle knot. Woo, that was great. Oh, we rock this one.
Okay, well, and you're going right down the path. This is great. I don't even have to lead you, since we wanted to talk more about, you know,
storage,
the physical attributes of what to do with all the holiday stuff. Keeping it so it doesn't get all messed up for the next year is primo.
Yeah, exactly. Really appealing, ginormous plastic tote bins. A lot of them are fun colors. I've seen a lot of, you know, red and green ones for the Christmas stuff. But then, since they're solid colors, you can't really see what's in them. And some of the bigger ones will hold literally everything. So they'll be too heavy to lift, and the stuff at the bottom just gets buried or damaged if it's not put away properly. So think about the size of the things that you have and how delicate they are. You might not want to put your breakable ornaments in the same box with your bulky, I don't know,
so
what
like,
other stuff.
So like I have a bunch of miniature Christmas trees.
Oh, yeah.
And garland. And like, so I could put those in a big box together because mm-hmm. they're lighter.
Yeah.
But then like my ceramic ornaments and breakable ornaments, I'd want to wrap in tissue and put in a more protected, smaller box, so
right.
they wouldn't be so heavy. Is that what you're
like
saying?
Like the egg carton, and you can even put the egg carton inside, like a, not necessarily a shoebox, but just a smaller tote bin.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Think, you know, bigger items, bigger boxes, and tiny items, tiny boxes.
As long as they're lighter, right?
Yes.
For big.
Yeah.
Because I've got several of the, like, 3 foot long boxes or four. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm only 5 foot tall, so you're big to me.
Aw.
I was trying to think what else went in those. I have the Christmas trees and the garlands and, my Santas, because I have a Santa collection.
Oh, yeah. Collections.
So, okay,
you
so
can keep those items together. You might have, like, your Santa collection bin, and so you know exactly where that is, and you're ready to put out all your fun little Santas, and there they all are. You don't have to search for them or go like, now I know I'm missing one, but where is it? It's
right.
all just there.
And then sometimes, like, I have a few Santas that could be ornaments or they could be Santas. And so I had to choose, like, which one are they really?
Yeah.
And that's, I'm assuming there's not a right way or a wrong way.
No, of course
not. That's what works for you. I've been okay organized with Christmas stuff. And this year it paid off because I didn't decorate this year. Well, I decorated for an hour. But my home looks lovely, So, you know, my husband was in the hospital for about a month. He wasn't supposed to be there for a month, but it happened. But the second or third time we thought he was coming home, we were like, wanted to get decorated for Christmas because I didn't want to be doing it when he was home. And so some of his buddies came over and did the lights, which, of course, somebody else, a complete stranger, a friend of a friend's, okay, not a complete stranger, but a friend of a friend's, complete stranger to me, was so sweet and came over and helped me get all my stuff out of the attic. But so the guys put all the lights up, which was awesome. And then my mom and a friend came over and decorated my house. I helped them for like an hour, and then I had to leave. And that was a really good lesson because, A, everything was in boxes that had labels so they could find stuff. But then they weren't married to doing stuff the way I wanted to do it, or I would have done it.
Yeah.
So it was like this whole new, fresh approach to how my home was decorated.
That's great.
But that was a good... So maybe we ought to all switch each other's houses every few years.
I would. That's a great tradition. I kind of want to adopt that idea.
I know. Now that comes out of my mouth. Just go and
decorate somebody else's house. Because honestly, that feels less like a chore to me than... You know, decorating my own house, that's a social activity. That's just fun.
Instead of barn raising, we'll do Christmas tree raising.
Sure.
You never know what we're going to invent on this show.
You heard it here first.
Uh-huh. Okay, so good containers.
Yes.
Sturdy containers, I'm assuming.
Yes. I would avoid cardboard or anything that would be affected by the elements if you're going to store your stuff in an attic or a basement.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's... asking for trouble there with cardboard and fabric bins.
So attics in particular we were chatting about because living in Oklahoma, a lot of houses here have attics because we don't have a lot of basements here. And attics are going to usually be subject to more extreme weather conditions than basements would be.
Yeah. Yeah, so, for sure. That heat.
So the heat, that was one thing we were really pointing out because a lot of attics are not insulated in the roof decking. So they get hot in the summer. You wouldn't want to like store anything that could melt, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like
you don't want candle wax dripping on your Santas.
Yeah, no. So if people do have things that it might be more temperature sensitive, maybe put those elsewhere?
Yeah. If you have the closet space, maybe a top shelf in a closet, I hesitate to just shove everything into a closet because then it'll get buried. But for things that you use seasonally or just occasionally, it's not a daily thing. Even if it's like only a couple of times a year that you access the decorations or even like some special serving plates or just fun stuff.
Isn't that what the cabinets on top of the refrigerator are for?
The ones that I can never reach? Yeah.
I need a stepladder to get up there. That's where the candles will go.
Sure. Yeah, actually, that's great. So stuff that you don't access often can be in kind of an inconvenient, out-of-the-way place and keep the prime real estate of the arm's reach cabinets and closets and stuff for the stuff that you do use daily.
My home in St. Louis, I had four big, huge metal shelves in my basement, and I had one whole shelf dedicated to Christmas stuff.
Oh,
it
wow.
was awesome. That was the best organized basement I've ever had in my
life. Nice.
That's one of my challenges transitioning to an attic is I don't have shelving up there.
Yeah, that's so hard because the low ceiling, there's not much that you can do for shelving.
Yeah, we floored more space over our garage, so we had a little bit more space. So, yeah, that does force us to think more carefully about what we're doing and where we're putting stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, ideally, I wish I had enough room in the garage, but...
Yeah.
Not yet.
Man. Yeah, garage storage can definitely be a tricky one, and I'm sure that's like a whole other podcast we can dive into with
And a lot of people here have sheds.
Yeah.
So... a shed's going to be subject pretty much to the same conditions that an attic would.
Pretty much, yeah. And I don't know if it's more or less susceptible to like rain and precipitation or not, depending on, I guess, how well it's built or insulated.
Right. Pay attention to where you're storing your stuff and make sure it's protected.
Exactly.
Is basically the message there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And then I'm assuming the containers should all be labeled.
Yes. Oh, thank you for bringing that up. Labels are super helpful. If you have... a label maker, then great. But if not, it's
you don't need one. You can either like write on some printer paper and use packing tape to put that on your bin, or you can use painter's tape, and they actually make green painter's tape, and I think it's called frog tape.
The frog tape.
Yes. Oh, it's so good, because Sharpie shows up way better on that.
Oh, that's a great idea, because I've been using the blue, and that didn't show up as
well. Yeah, that's hard for my eyes. I think that's hard for anyone's eyes. But the green tape is what I use, and I'll use that for temporary labels with my clients to be like, okay, this is your new thing. Okay. And if you want to keep labels, then great, we can make fancy ones. Or if you would just rather not use labels at all, this is here until you remember that this is their home. And then you could just peel it off. It doesn't damage anything.
So I have a sneaking suspicion that part of the reason people love having you work with them is because it's a lot easier to do the hard stuff when you have someone to do it with you.
Oh, for sure. It's actually fun to work with me. I mean, I'm a little biased, but yeah, it is fun.
Well, thank goodness.
you dread diving into this pile of stuff, whatever it is, and then somebody's there with you, and not only is it another set of hands making it go by faster, but it's a really good energy, and we just kind of fuel each other, and we're upbeat, and like, even if there are tricky decisions, like, you don't have to face it alone. And I am there to help you just work through the process, ask you questions to kind of clarify your own vision, because I don't have the vision for you. You do. And it's just so nice to watch that unfold. And I get as excited about uncovering floor space and surface space as they do. So it's, nice. I don't know, it's just amplified. It's great.
Well, that is a perfect place for us to wrap this up. How do people find you? Wrap it up with a bow. And I love that, this whole idea of a gift from your past self to your future self. I think is exactly it on par. But the cool thing about working with you is you do not have to be physically in the same location to work with you.
Tell me how
this all works.
Yeah, so there is the awesome body doubling aspect when I am in person, but you still get that same motivation and encouragement and excitement and expertise and guidance from me. If you don't live near me, I can reach you across the country and across the world. So I do virtual organizing as well as the in-person stuff. We just talk on the phone, do some photo sharing, and I keep track of your project, give you your next steps in manageable chunks. I don't want to overload you with homework. I'll give myself some homework too. I check in with you, help you along the way as you do the physical stuff yourself, but I do all the essentially project managing and brain work for you.
So accountability too.
Oh, totally.
So maybe if people want to work with you virtually, they have maybe a buddy that would come sit with them when they're going through stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun. I definitely encourage that. Or like put on some good music and into a groove. It's
there
great.
There you go. So your website is?
My website is untangleorganizing.com, and there is no letter D involved in any of this, so it's untangle organizing.com
with her radio voice. And you're on Instagram, Facebook, and I can't remember where else. Maybe that's it.
No, I think that's it. Just Instagram and Facebook. Also at Untangle Organizing.
And if people want to communicate with you, what's the best way to do that?
You can email me, text me, or call me. My email address is Leah, L-E-A, at untangleorganizing.com. And my phone number is 405-458-0408.
Well, Leah, it has been so fun to talk with you about getting organized after the holidays.
Yay.
And everyone out there in Green Gab Land, I hope you have a wonderful holiday wherever you are celebrating and however and with whomever you are celebrating. And here's to an organized way of putting it all back together when you are unpacking it. Stay green and have an awesome holiday. We'll rock it out on the Green Gab. Take care.
That wraps this episode of the Green Gab Podcast. Ready to use what you've learned? Get the show notes with all the resources mentioned in this episode, plus 9 simple, straightforward, low to no cost ways to improve the health of your home and world today at everydaygreenhome.com. Be sure to subscribe now on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and remember, being green is easier and more affordable than you think.